My friends, I want to let us know that God has a special plan for each of us.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Following Jesus. Is it about commitment or is it about surrender? This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will use lessons from the account of Samson, one of the judges of Israel, to explain the critical difference between commitment and surrender in achieving God's purpose for one's life. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Life's Greatest Pursuit, Part 1. Here is Pastor Grant.
Paul was a young, successful banker, and one sunny day in Denver, he went and he picked up a brand new BMW. And after he got his BMW, he decided to drive up to Pikes Peak. Some of you have gone to Pikes Peak in the Rocky Mountains. He decided he'd go up to Pikes Peak with his brand new BMW to enjoy the ride and to enjoy the view. But on his return home later that afternoon, he ran into a huge mountain storm, and there's snow everywhere. And as he came around the corner, his BMW, you know, the BMWs and the Mercedes, they're better now, but there was a time. I remember coming down 309, and my Mercedes went, just slipped right off the road into the culvert. But anyhow, Mercedes, please don't sue me for giving that bad bit of counsel. But his BMW started skidding toward a cliff that had no guardrail. And at the last moment, he was able to unbuckle his seatbelt and jump from the car before it tumbled off the cliff. His life was saved, but his adrenaline was running so high, he didn't realize his shoulder had gotten caught near the door hinge and that his left arm was torn off. A trucker saw what had happened and stopped to help. The banker was looking over the edge of the cliff in a state of shock. He was moaning, "My BMW is gone. My BMW is gone." The trucker pointed to the banker's left side and said to him, "Man, you got much bigger problems than just about your BMW." The banker looked at his left shoulder and realized he had lost his left arm. He said, "Oh no, my new Rolex! My new Rolex!" His arm was torn off, but his big upset that he had lost his $30,000 Rolex and his BMW. Now, this fictitious man, some of you believed it was true, this fictitious man's greatest pursuit was material things. And this morning we want to talk about the question, life's greatest pursuit. What's your greatest pursuit in life? If you ask me for one verse that summarizes life's greatest pursuit, I'd probably pick Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, verse 33. And I'm going to read it for you in the New Living Translation, Mark's Gospel chapter 6, verse 33. And here's how it reads in the NLT. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Amen? Amen. Say that with me. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. If you believe it, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Write this down in your notes. Life's greatest pursuit is to seek the kingdom of God above everything else and to live righteously. Teenager, I hope you're writing that down. Listen, they're going to try and push you to believe that material things and pleasure is the most important things in life. But listen, life's greatest pursuit is to seek the kingdom of God above everything else and to live righteously. This verse gives the big picture. But we need to unpack what is involved in seeking God's kingdom first. And this morning, I want to start by sharing with you three of the things that are involved in it, that are required in this pursuit. So please stay ready. Here's the first thing I'd like you to write down today. The first thing that I want to point out that is involved in this great pursuit of seeking God's kingdom first, write this down, a determination to pursue God's perfect plan for our lives. A determination to pursue God's perfect plan for our lives. Judges chapter 13, verse 1 reads this way. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren. He had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink," nor could the child, "and not to eat anything unclean, nor could the child. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And this boy's name was Samson. God had a very special plan for Samson. And so even before he was born, God told his parents what they were required to do and what Samson would be required to do in order to fulfill God's purpose. My friends, I want to let us know that God has a special plan for each of us. Some of us, come on now, young people, some of us are drifting through life almost as if there is no plan for us, that God does not have a plan, and we are drifting. And I'm here to tell you that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has a special and a wonderful plan for your life. Hold your finger right there and jump over to the Romans chapter 12. And as I said, there's some verses in the Bible that deserve to be marked. And if you haven't marked this one in your Bible, these two verses here are two verses that deserve, that need a mark. So every time you pass by, you can stop and remind yourself. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 reads this way. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice." God does not want a dead sacrifice. He wants you while you are alive and kicking. Amen? Young people, give to off your best to the Master. Amen? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The next word is what? Holy. And acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God will step by step show you His perfect will. No, don't go home and say, "Show me your will." God reveals His perfect will to you step by step. Oh, you see, thank God He never just lay it out for you. Because you know what would some of us would do if we saw the whole plan? We might like the plan. You see, we might like the end part, but we don't like the roads to get there. And you see, God wants to get us to a beautiful end. He has a perfect will for your life, a perfect will. But listen, there is a path that only He can choose. And so He tells us, listen, we are to commit to Him. Amen? We are to commit to Him. God has a perfect plan. You know, years ago, Pastor Adrian Rogers, many of you have listened to him on the radio, watched him on TV. He's a well-known TV pastor. He's now at home with the Lord. He recounted his meeting with Joseph Tison, a Romanian Christian who had suffered under communism. Pastor Rogers asked Joseph if he saw any difference between Christianity as practiced in America versus Christianity in communist countries like Romania. And Joseph replied that American Christians emphasize commitment, but Romanian Christians emphasize surrender. I read this illustration and I thought it was so powerful. American Christians emphasize commitment. Romanian Christians emphasize surrender. And he said that since the Romanian language did not have a word at that time to translate the word commitment, there was no word in Romanian to translate the word commitment. He did a search and he found out that the word Americans would normally use for their commitment to God, they replaced the word commitment. They introduced the word commitment, but there was a word that they used to use before that was translated into the Romanian language. He said he discovered that Americans had gradually stopped using the word surrender because that was the word what Christians would say, a surrender, and we changed from surrendering to God to make a commitment to God. And so Dr. Rogers asked Joseph, so what's the big difference between commitment and surrender? Joseph responded, when you make a commitment, you're still in control. It hit me so hard. He says, when you make a surrender, you're still in control. You're the one who are deciding if you're going to pray more, if you're going to give more, if you're going to serve more. You are still fully in control. And the sad truth is that if we examine our hearts, for most of us as Christians, we are willing to make a commitment because we are still in control. But Joseph said, when you make a surrender, he says, when somebody holds a gun and asks you to surrender, you don't tell them what you're willing to commit. You got it? Are you committed or are you surrendered? God wants a surrender where He is in control. He is the one directing the traffic. He is the one who's determining where you go and what is your career. He is the one who's running the show. Not where we are running the show and saying, God, I feel good, 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 because I'm in control and I'm going to serve you the way I choose to serve you. No, no, no. If we are going to enjoy life's greatest pursuit, first, we must have a determination to pursue God's perfect plan for our lives. Amen? But listen. The second thing that life's greatest pursuit includes is a determination, write this down, a determination to pursue a separated life. Determination to pursue a separated life. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 7. And here's what the Word of God says. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. Let me just throw this in passing. I didn't intend to say this. I hope you don't miss verse number 6. That no one should take advantage of his brother or his sister and defraud them. You know, there's a lot of defrauding going on. Oh, baby, you're so cute. And the next thing you know, you have defrauded her. Amen. First, God has big plans for every Christian and demands that we stop messing with sin. Oh, I'm hoping and praying I got the attention of everybody, and particularly the teenagers, because teenagers, a lot of what God has to say, listen, you are just starting off in life. You need to get some of this really solid. Listen, we all folks need it too. God has big plans. We must pursue a separated life. Look what happened to your boy Samuel, your boy Samson, in Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people? In other words, are there any other people, members of the people of God? Why you got to go down and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Forget about the circumcised part. The ungodly people. And Samson said to his father, get her for me. Why? She pleases me well. As far as I'm concerned, the only qualification, I want a good looker. She looked good. You don't know anything about her. She looked good. Samson didn't care what God had to say. He figured he was the strongest man on earth. He could do whatever he wanted to do and get away with it. What was he smoking? Samson ended up falling to three of the devil's main traps. And so I don't want you to miss this now. Here are three of the devil's main traps. You ready to write? Write this first one down. The lust of the flesh. Three lusts we must all guard against. The first one is the lust of the flesh. Put that scripture back up for me, please. In Judges chapter 14. I mean, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I'm sorry. Hopefully we can read this together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Can you read it with me? We're in the same version. What does it say? Do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Stop. That is some strong stuff. If you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Let's continue. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. Amen. So did you write down the lust of the flesh already? Right beside the lust of the flesh, a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see. In Judges 14:5, we find Samson in the vineyards. What do they produce in a vineyard? You can talk to me. It's grapes, but you know what they're up to? They're making wine. What was one of the things that Samson was forbidden from doing? Drinking wine. Samson was playing with fire. Have you ever played with fire? David played with fire. He was looking through the window. He saw something or somebody. Watch out now. You know, it's not the first look. You know, it's not the first look, because sometimes you can't help to see what you saw. It's the second look. Let's not see how far we can go before we fall off the cliff. Samson was among the vineyards when a lion came roaring at him. And instead of taking this as God's warning, he decided it was time to kill. Okay? So he tore the lion apart. Later on in verse 8, he went back to the spot. And when he came to the lion, there was a swarm of bees in the carcass of the lion. And that was fresh. There was some fresh, delightful honey. Boy, I tell you, we were on the road rally, the church's road rally, and we passed this little place, and they were selling fresh honey. They had just done it themselves. We got some of that honey, best honey I ever had. Fresh, delightful honey. Was it okay for Samson to eat it? No. Guess why? He had to take it out of the carcass of the lion. And one of the things he was forbidden from doing was to touch dead things. So he might have been trying to, you know, sometimes, I don't know why this popped into my mind, but I know how devious we all are. He might have said, you know what, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get as much of the honey as I can. But I'm going to make sure there's a little layer so I don't touch it. I wonder if he tried that game. Have you ever tried that game? Lord, you ever tried the game of coming as close to the edge as you can, hoping you won't fall off? The lust of the flesh. Samson, as a Nazarite to God. Listen, God had such an incredible plan for Samson's life, and Samson totally messed up. He gave in to the lust of the flesh.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.